As we prepare to hear Holy Scripture this morning, I invite you to join me in our prayer of illumination and in the power of the Holy Spirit and in one voice, friends, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So in our sermon summer series, we're using a beautiful resource called Blessed Are the Peacemakers. It came out of the Western North Carolina Conference, and it really rests within the Lenten lectionaries. And so today, together, we're going to hear two gospel texts, one from the Gospel of Luke and the second from the Gospel of Matthew. Because these are long texts, I'll invite you to remain seated as we hear the Word of God this morning. From the Gospel, according to Luke, from the 10th chapter, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Thus ends our first reading, moving on to the Gospel of Matthew from the 26th chapter. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and most holy God, in this time and in this space, you have opened our hearts and our minds to hear your encouragement and your word this day. As we dip our toes back into Jesus' journey to the cross, we are reminded that there are many things that could lead to distractions in the world. So center our hearts in these moments, that we may hear your truth, that we may grow in our understanding of what it means to be peacemakers in the world. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So if you remember, and just in case, so 2 weeks ago, Don Schweniker started our time of this sermon series talking a lot about anxiety, that there are certain things that come up in our lives, and what is our response? And he extended the invitation to us to turn it over to Jesus. Last week, I spoke again about anxiety and talked a little bit about how fear roots us into the past, and anxiety is that future casting of those things that seem out of our control. And one of the things that I want to be very mindful of is that anxiety in and of itself is not a bad thing, that sometimes anxiety can be managed with meditation, deep breathing. Sometimes anxiety needs a little help through medication and therapy, whatever that might be. But I just want to acknowledge that we may all have different experiences with anxiety. Okay? The question then becomes, when we have these anxious moments, how does our body respond? And I invited y'all to think about, when you get anxious about something, where do you feel it in your body? I know for me, I feel it right here. Like, I can't catch my breath. Some of you may get upset stomachs. Some of you might get tense shoulders where they crawl up to your ears because you feel like things are outside of your ability to affect change. And your body is sending you the message that you have to do something with this to make you feel less anxious. So last week, we talked about, do we have to be right? One of the ways anxiety can manifest itself is in the fight mode. And we talked about how sometimes in anxious modes, we may respond to somebody and say something that causes a rift and division. And how do we address that in order to be peacemakers? The second way anxiety can manifest itself is in the flight mode, right? You know, and it's changed with time. It used to be fight or flight. That was your option. But now we have fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. We're going to focus in on the flight part of this. So we have two very different scripture stories. We have the one about Jesus coming into the home of Martha. Martha is in the busyness of the world, preparing a meal, and Mary is seemingly doing nothing, and Martha calls her out, right? And says, "Hey, Jesus, can you tell my sister to help me?" I would be curious to think what type of interaction happened between Martha and Mary before Jesus arrived, right? You know, because we could not necessarily know what that interaction was. So my guess is, if Martha was anticipating a large crowd or knew that Jesus was coming, she may have been a little anxious in anticipation of that. And in that case, I imagine there might have been a fight between these two women, and therefore now they're taking their time apart, right? And so now Martha's bringing Jesus into the story. So there is that. But I imagine that there's some element in that with Martha where she maybe felt that her sister Mary had abandoned her in the work at hand, right? That whatever it is, Martha took on the accountability of making sure these things happened, and she probably felt very alone in that and was speaking to that truth with Jesus. So there is that. Then we have the story of Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that the Last Supper has happened and that Judas is on the scene, knowing that Judas is the one who is going to betray Jesus with the seal of a kiss. And in that moment, we see an anxious response of a sword drawn and a fight comes out. Now, here's the thing. Jesus, we miss the part where Jesus heals the soldier, because really, if we're focusing in on what does it mean to be peacemakers, Jesus didn't want there to be a violent response to what was happening. Instead, Jesus said, go do what you need to do. But then Jesus is arrested, and what happened to all the disciples? Does anybody remember from the text? Where did they go? They fled. They abandoned Jesus. This is the example of flight. In the face of whatever was coming next, their anxiety caused them to leave that space, right? But Jesus was continuing on this journey to the cross. And so for us today, as we think about these two stories, at the core of this is our anxiety can manifest with this desire to quit, to run away. How many of you have had like a job that just, you're like, I can't do this anymore, I just want to quit? Yeah. How many of you have been out trying to mow your grass in this ridiculous heat and just say, I want to quit mowing this grass, and then you say, stop growing? Me? Okay, good. How many of you have just been so overwhelmed with circumstances, you know, that, you know, it might be a family dynamic, it might be a social event, but you're like, my anxiety is through the roof. I have to get out of here. Yeah. I'm right there with you, right? Because our bodies, you know, will hold on to as much as it can, and then it says, okay, that's enough. We have to do something. And so we go into this flight mode of, we need to escape the danger. We need to escape the situation. We need to have our bodies feel better. And so we think that the best way to do that is to get out of the situation. And we see this in scripture, right? We see how Martha feels like she's been left to do all of the work, and she's trying to get out of that, right? By inviting Jesus to intercept her sister. Tell her to help me, right? And we see this with the disciples, who this person that they've been following for 3 years is now arrested and in the hands of, you know, powers and principalities, and they have no idea what's going to happen next, even though Jesus has been pretty open and honest about what was coming. They were fleeing from the situation. So here's the thing. Inherently, getting out of a situation is not bad. It's not good. It's not bad. It's our response. That's what we do. But the question that I want y'all to consider is, if you quit something, what does that do to the people left behind? Right? One of the examples that I could think about, and this is something that I've reflected on, is it was very easy for me growing up as a military child to go into a place and know that in 18 to 24 months, I was going to pick up and move. So if the relationships didn't work out, I was leaving anyway, right? And then I would go on to the next place and start working on building new relationships. And then the time would come where I would pick up and I would leave. And I never really thought about what happened because I left. Now, the circumstances of me leaving was outside of my control because I was a dependent child and I had to go where my parents took me, right? But the people that were left behind were impacted by my leaving. There was a gentleman who I was in gifted and talented with in middle school. And it was years later, you know, when Facebook first came on the scene and everybody was connecting with all these old friends and stuff. And he said, you left a big hole in my life when you left. And I thought, wow, I never really thought about how when we leave a situation, what it does to the people that are left behind. So, when you get into a place where your anxiety is running and you want to fight, pick a fight, or if you just want to get the heck out of there, I'm going to invite y'all to take just a few extra moments to breathe, to calm your nervous system and say, what happens if I leave? That's giving consideration to the people who will be impacted by your leaving. And for us, when I think about Jesus and the story that we are leaning into with his journey to the cross, he knew he was leaving. And he came back, and what did he offer to the people, his followers, his disciples, when he came and reappeared before him? What did he offer them? What did he say to them? Be at peace. Right? Be at peace. Peace be with you. And friends, as a community of faith, if we really embody this call to be peacemakers in the world, we have to think about how our anxiety may cause undue harm to someone else. How can we experience peace, and how can we embody our lives in such a way that peace can be experienced by others? Hard to do. And thanks be to God for God's grace that helps us in those moments. So remember to breathe. Center your nervous system. Think about what the impact will be if you leave or abandon a situation. Not saying you have to stay, right? But be mindful of how your actions can affect others. Are y'all with me? Blessed are the peacemakers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.